بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. We begin the discussion on chapter 18, employments. What is the most virtuous employment, mashghala, profession in sharia, in deen, in the eyes of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that will draw the most amount of barakat and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first employment that was mentioned is the khidmat of deen, teaching Qur'an Sharif, learning Qur'an Sharif. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the best of you is the one that learns Qur'an Sharif and teaches Qur'an Sharif. But the motivation behind this is to earn the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Secondly, we mentioned yesterday the trade and business. In regards to trade and business, this is the second employment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed barakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, 9/10 of sustenance is derived from trade and 1/10 from livestock breeding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, 9/10 of sustenance is derived from trade and 1/10 from livestock breeding. Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Khadija, Zubair bin Awam, Abdul Rahman bin Awf, Sa'ad bin Aziz, Talha bin Ubaidillah were all traders before and after the advent of Islam, including Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. They all were traders. Allah ta'ala has got barakat in it. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I advise you to trade so that these red ones, that is the non-Arabs, do not become an obstacle for you in your worldly affairs. As I mentioned yesterday also, some countries where they left out trade and they got their children involved in professions in corporate world, etc. Then there were foreigners that came in and took over the economy, so to say. Economy in the hands of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala has kept the zahiri sabab, the outward sabab and means in the hands of insan also. So the counsel of Umar radiallahu anhu, I advise you to trade so that these red ones, that the non-Arabs, the ajam, do not become an obstacle for you in your worldly affairs. Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu visited the marketplace, he noticed that the majority of traders were foreigners and ordinary people. This saddened him, and as a result he said, that which is quoted above, that is, advise you to trade so that these red ones, the non-Arabs, do not become an obstacle from you in your worldly affairs. Someone remarked, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the conquest of lands and the arrival of booty, has made us independent of trade for our needs. As Umar radiallahu anhu replied, if you are going to discard trade as a profession, you will find that your men will be in need of their men and your women will be in need of their women. You will become muhtaj and in need of these foreigners. Allama Khatani rahimahullah says, the prophecy of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu regarding the future of this ummah proved to be absolutely true. When Muslims gave up trade and commerce as a profession, others took it up and controlled the business world to such an extent that the entire ummah came to be in need of others. For everything that is from the most insignificant to the most important, they had to be dependent upon others. So Allah Ta'ala has kept barakat, as we mentioned, in wepari, in doing business. Where a person goes every day to his business, starts a fajr salah already. And the fikr is, Ya Allah, that you put barakat today. From the morning, his heart is connected to the masjid. Because he knows Allah Ta'ala has kept it in the house of Allah. Everything is moving from here. Barakat is moving from the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So when he opened the business also, Bismillah, Durud Sharif. When he's sitting there, when he makes also something, he makes shukr to Allah. When he loses also something, Inna Lillahi. The whole is the dhikr of Allah. And many virtues. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam mentioned also, that person who makes the dhikr of Allah in the marketplace is like the green leaf on a dry tree. The person who makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the marketplace is that lamp that is burning in a dark house. There's darkness all around, but he's in the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So a mu'min in the business place draws a different barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is connected to the masjid and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, agriculture is the next best after trade. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should a man plant a tree or busy himself with farming, and a person or animals eat thereof, that should be an act of charity, sadqa for him. In Muslim Sharif, a hadith kitab, there is an addition. And if anything thereof gets stolen, it shall be considered as sadaqa. This is also one form of continual charity, sadqa jariya, that is agriculture and farming. Musa bin Uqba radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, the best business is agriculture and breeding of goats. This is the way of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. The farmer is rewarded for whatever he produces, whether directly by his actions or indirectly. So much so that even when birds, ants and other insects eat from the produce, he is rewarded. Any Muslim who plants a tree of vegetation will be rewarded for every bird, human or animal, that eats from that. From here we can understand that the underlying intention, the ba'ithul amal, dafi'ul amal, the catalyst, the spark to do that amal, is a pleasure of Allah and rewards. Now especially when our youngsters have written the matric exam, they're waiting for the results. And now they're making mashwara to what should I do ahead. So this is counsel and mashwara direct from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise you know the corporate world, yes we do need some of the part of the ummah to be there, but then it's a slavery also. And the environment also is very toxic when it comes to amal and sharia, the intermingling, etc. Business a person can control who he wants to interact with. Alhamdulillah, we have many brothers, Allah Ta'ala bless them. But the entire setup, entire operation, that one female is only men. And if you have to employ them, then remotely. Remotely we can employ them. They don't have to be there in the marketplace. If we know the dangers of it, of having intermingling, maybe he's the CEO, he's within the confines of his office. What about the staff? What about their akhirat? The men that are working for him. If he does not concern about that, then he shows the underlying intention is not his akhirat. But if he's worried about his akhirat, then this business should purchase me my place in Jannat. Fourthly, the third fourth of labor, or the fourth thought of fourth type of employment is labor. This includes skilled laborers like doctors, plumbers, electricians, as well as unskilled laborers. But this is the fourth type. There's not really any virtue mentioned for it. But when it comes to doctors, plumbers, electricians, whether it be accountants, etc., the ruling in Sharia is if in an area, a locality, we don't have sufficient doctors, we don't have plumbers, electricians, lawyers that we need for our necessities, then in Sharia we classify this as farz-e kifaya. It's farz-e kifaya upon the locality. We don't have sufficient so that we may function smoothly. Then it becomes a farz upon the locality to free certain amount of people to allow them to go and study. We will take care of their necessities because we need you. We need so many doctors, pharmacists, so and so. So it becomes a farz upon the locality to free those amount of youngsters connected to the masjid also, involved in the effort of deen. Now you go and do your studies and connect to the local amal. So you become a doctor, you're a Muslim doctor, you're going to come back and serve the community. You're a Muslim pharmacist or an accountant or whatever it may be. So you are linked to the amal of the locality. In that way, it doesn't become an independent entity altogether, where although being part of the community, then to making money from the community. Yes, enough for you to live and we also live. So the whole thing is very tied up in Sharia, understand. How Sharia is all tied up to the masjid. From the first one teaching Quran Sharif to the last labor also. That everyone lives and let live. So he can also move in the path of Allah. He can go for Hajj also. He can make Umrah also. He's comfortable in his life. So there's a complete balance in Sharia. How we should have a Muslim community that does every amal to draw the rahmat and barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us understanding. Subhanallah. Bihamdihi.